A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Thank you again for tuning in to another edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. It is great to have you with us today. On the program, coming up here in just a matter of moments, we'll talk with Stephen Gutowski of the Washington Free Beacon about the upcoming week. We may learn what, if any, proposals President Trump will support in terms of changes to our nation's gun laws. The lobbying has been fierce over the weekend. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer had a phone call with President Trump Sunday morning, afterwards released a statement basically saying that anything less than quote-unquote universal background checks would be unacceptable to those Democratic leaders. They want a vote on H.R. 8, which is the universal background check bill passed by the House. I think that they would accept less than that. I think that they would accept the Manchin-Toomey proposal, which is universal background checks light for the most part. And don't forget, the House has already passed three more gun control measures last week. I think that the Democrats right now trying to pressure the president as much as they can. But given the fact that it's been more than 20 years since we have seen the passage of any significant gun control legislation in Congress, while they might huff and puff, they will accept any gun control measure that President Trump may adopt. So will he adopt any at all? Well, again, sat down and spoke with our friend Stephen Gutowski, the Washington Free Beacon, about some of the plans that we've been hearing, largely, by the way, hearing on background or through anonymous sources. So take all of this with as many grains of salt as you want, because at the end of the day, one of the things that we do know is that the president is keeping his opinions pretty close to the vest right now. Take a look and a listen. Stephen, thank you, sir, for joining us on the program today. Good Monday to you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So we'll talk about Beto in a second here, but I'm curious, do you think that this is the week that we actually hear President Trump publicly talk about what, if any, additional gun control proposals he favors?
Well, nobody really knows. It was supposed to be last Friday, I guess, was what all the reporting was, that he was going to announce, the White House was going to announce their package of gun-related proposals, and that didn't happen. So now I guess the expectation is it's going to happen this week, but really no one knows, and no one... I've talked to a lot of people on the Hill, gun rights organizations, other reporters, and nobody knows what's going to be in it. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
I guess we will. And you're right. From all of the leaks and, sources talking on background, one thing is clear, and that is that the president is playing this very close to the vest. Either he has not decided what he's going to do, or he's not saying what he's going to do. Meanwhile, we've got, fierce lobbying going on. You had Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer with a phone call to the president yesterday. Afterwards, they released a statement basically saying that, quote-unquote, universal background checks are a must-pass piece of legislation over on the Senate side. H.R. 8 has already passed out of the House. There's been some talk between Joe Manchin and Pat Toomey, and I believe even a couple of other senators about the quote-unquote Manchin-Toomey proposal, which would be slightly less than universal background checks, but still an expansion of who has to conduct a background check on a private transfer of a firearm. And it seems to me that if the president goes with either one of those options, he's going to have problems with his base.
Yeah, I mean... essentially, Pelosi and Schumer said that Democrats won't support anything that doesn't have universal background checks in them. And I guess now people are saying Manchin-Toomey isn't the same thing as universal background checks. I think that's a bit of a stretch, but there are more exceptions in their proposal than H.R. 8. But even still, it's basically a universal background check system, and it's basically the same thing that they tried to pass in 2013, where they only were able to get 54 votes, and the Senate today is presumably even less likely to support that bill, given that Republicans now control it. So, it's hard to see a path for something like Manchin-Toomey You did see Lindsey Graham flip. He flip-flopped on Manchin Toomey on Friday or on Thursday, and that might give people some pause because obviously Lindsey Graham is very well connected to the president usually. So it's interesting to see him flip at that moment. You know, you never really know with Donald Trump, frankly. And it's never really clear if Lindsey Graham is, you know, signaling what the president supports or if he's trying to get him to support something. I don't know. It is interesting that Graham has gone from advocating his red flag bill that he supposedly has a deal with Richard Blumenthal, the Democrat, on the Judiciary Committee, to now advocating for universal background checks, and said that sort of signals that red flag laws probably aren't going anywhere either, which is weird to me. It seemed like there was quite a lot more Republican support for that proposal, at least in theory, if not, you know, depending on what the details are. But, right. You know, it's strange that they reverted back to universal background checks, which, I mean, has been the go-to forever now for Democrats, instead of trying to pass a relatively newer idea with that has more potential for broader support in the Senate. So I don't know what's going to come out of it, but at this point, if I'm, you know, just being honest about my personal assessment, it just seems like there's not going to be any gun control proposal that passes. And I don't know what the president's going to support, but there's a ticking clock on this. I mean, it's September 16th. All the reports said they need to pass something in September, and to gather the 14 Republican votes you would need that. And that's assuming every Democrat would support whatever comes out, which is not a given. You know, how are you going to rally 14 votes for gun control in 2 weeks? And so and then try to reconcile it with whatever differences there are with the House. You know, it seems like a really tall order at this point. And if, you know, there's a lot of sort of novel ideas floating around out there. Politico had reported one about developing an app for to do NICS checks.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't clear if that was going to be mandatory or voluntary. I mean, certainly an interesting idea, I guess, better than trying to make everyone go to a gun store every time they want to lend a gun to their friend.
It is interesting. And I'm willing to see, you know, if that proposal comes to light, I'm willing to take a look at it. We don't know any of the details here. I think there are some concerns about, you know, security and privacy as well. Mm-hmm. But
well,
I think
we all remember how Obamacare was rolled out and how the government handled that online service.
Right.
So, exactly. Plenty to be skeptical about with something like that.
There are. And I saw CNN had reported on that app as well. And they had a list. Now, I don't know where this list comes from, but they said some of the other things that the president is considering. So this is not necessarily things that the president is going to come out and support. But there were a couple of other items that that were kind of troubling to me. They did talk about a red flag law or legislation that would give grant money to states to implement red flag laws. They also talked about, Stephen, no fly, no buy. Saying the president's considering if someone is on the terror watch list that they are no longer eligible to purchase a firearm. This, again, has been a wish list item for gun control advocates for years now. Yep. They see it as good politics. Why should a terrorist be able to buy a gun? Of course, right now you've got, you know, San Francisco City Supervisors calling the NRA a domestic terrorist organization. You've got a couple of polls out suggesting pretty large swaths of Democrats consider the NRA to be a terrorist organization. Therefore, NRA members, I guess, would be considered terrorists. I've got my problems, generally speaking, with no fly, no buy. But I also think this would be a really, really bad time for the president to get behind a bill that says, hey, if you're on a watch list, you can't buy a gun. When we know that there are an awful lot of Democratic presidential candidates who would probably love to put you and me and every other legal gun owner on a watch list for being legal gun owners.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the biggest stumbling block for passing new gun control legislation at this point, beyond just the basic numbers game of who, you know, Republicans versus Democrats in the Senate, is are Democrats in places like San Francisco and people like Beto O'Rourke coming out with very extreme gun control policies that they are now openly supporting in public, like declaring all of the members of the NRA to be domestic terrorists, and then obviously Beto's gun confiscation plan. But beyond that, it would also be odd to put a no-fly, no-buy provision, in whatever the president does eventually come out to support, given that the terror watch list was quite literally just struck down as unconstitutional a few days ago. So, because of the lack of due process protections provided to people on the list. Now, it's also another thing I think is important that gets missed in the no-fly, no-buy discussion. Most of the people on that list are foreign nationals and can't buy guns in the United States anyway. The only people that would be affected by something like that are American citizens. And then when you talk about American citizens or permanent residents, people who have constitutional protections, obviously then you get into a lot dirtier waters when you're talking about just stripping them of their gun rights without any sort of charge brought against them or any sort of evidence presented in a court, proving their guilt of some sort of crime.
No, absolutely. And that's why, groups as disparate as the NRA and the ACLU have both come out in opposition to quote unquote no fly, no buy bills in the past. Now, you brought up Beto just a minute ago. And so let's talk about that because, Beto was certainly hoping to get some attention during Thursday night's debate. He's there in that second tier of candidates. Well, he got the attention that he was looking for. I don't know if it's necessarily going to, launch him into that top tier of candidates, but saying, hell yes, we're coming for your guns, that is going to get people's attention, Stephen. And he's been defending this ever since. You've got individuals like Chris Coons from Delaware, Senator from Delaware, Pete Buttigieg saying, yeah, this is really going to play into the hands of the Second Amendment crowd. They're going to be, playing Beto's comments at rallies for years. Pete Buttigieg said, we've got this moment where we can really get something done. And, now we got Beto out there talking about taking people's guns away. It's not helpful. It's interesting. No one has actually said, hey, Beto's wrong. I don't think we should take anybody's guns. They're all talking about it from Beto shouldn't have said this because it hurts us politically, which I think is important to note.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point to make. They're right, too, though. As I just said, it's probably one of the biggest stumbling blocks now to passing any sort of gun control, especially something that could be argued creates a national registry of firearms or sort of de facto registry, which, depending on how a universal background check system would be implemented, effectively would create a de facto registry. And then doing anything that gets close to a registry when you've got a Democratic presidential candidate arguing that they're going to come and take everyone's guns, is obviously a lot harder to do. So, it was painfully obviously scripted on his part, and it was similar to the Kamala Harris in the first debates where she went after Biden in what ended up being a fairly obviously scripted, although probably more effective than this one, I would imagine. But Beto had shirts out immediately, just like Kamala did.
Right.
Right after he said it. So it's like, obviously he was going to do this as basically a desperate ploy to become relevant again in the race. I think it's a bit odd that was the direction he went, given how Eric Swalwell's campaign ended up. I mean, someone already tried this in the Democratic debate. Beto's being more boisterous about, oh, hell yes, we're going to take your guns or whatever. Okay.
Yeah. It's weird though. He got
0% of the vote.
Right. And Beto's being more boisterous. You're right about that. But at the same time, Swalwell was talking about, you're going to go to prison if you don't hand in your gun. Beto says, we're going to fine you. Right. You got to get these weapons of war off the streets and we're going to have these buybacks. And if you don't turn in your gun, then if we find out you've got your gun, then we're going to fine you, which to me is. It's jarring because on the one hand, he's talking about what a serious issue this is. And then on the other hand, you know, he doesn't want to talk about putting people in prison. I think that's one of the problems that Democrats generally have with their own gun control plans, that they're also out there advocating for criminal justice reform. They're saying that, you know, the criminal justice system is you know, systemically biased. So, you know, they're talking about taking people out of prison. Well, at the same time, they're talking about putting new gun laws on the books. And so they kind of put themselves into a little box here. And Beto's solution is, well, we're going to ban these guns. We're going to buy them back. And if you don't, then we're going to fine you if we find you.
And what happens if you don't pay the fine?
It's a good question. I know.
He comes and arrests you. That's generally how things work. You know, he's definitely tried to walk it back a little, because it's, I don't know, it's just kind of so desperate from my point of view, because like he needed to try and make a big splash. So he had to say the most radical thing he could. And he got cheers, obviously, and maybe he'll see some sort of bump in the polls. I wouldn't be shocked if he did, just because of the amount of attention he gets from doing this. But he has tried to basically walk it back. So like, well, I guess we're not really coming for your guns. We're just going to have a mandatory buyback. And when nobody participates in that, I mean, New Zealand, the latest figures are, which again, New Zealand, very different from the United States, obviously probably far more prone to cooperate with the mandatory buyback that they've put in place there, the gun confiscation scheme. But the latest numbers are only 10% of the estimated firearms that they've banned have actually been turned in halfway through buyback. So, when people don't turn in their guns here, I guess the plan is to just make millions of new felons in the United States.
It seems like a really strange way to reform the criminal justice system, if you ask me.
Yeah, his plan isn't really meant to be something that would ever actually, you know, be thought through and implemented. It's just supposed to be something to get him attention in the primary. Like, that's the reality of it. Nothing like that could ever, they can't even pass an assault weapons ban, a ban on sales, new sales in the House that's controlled by the Democrats. They can't even do that. If they could, they would have done it with the other three bills that they recently passed. Even in the democratically controlled House, they can't pass a sale ban on assault weapons, but, you know, assault weapon, whatever, ARs and AKs. But here's Beto saying that, you know, he's going to organize a gun confiscation scheme for them. It's just a political ploy to try and get attention in the primary.
Talking again with our friend Steve Gutowski, the Washington Free Beacon. We'll see what the House does. They do have that quote unquote assault weapons ban that did not get considered with those three bills that they passed last week. House Judiciary Committee is going to mark up the quote-unquote assault weapons ban, which also has a magazine ban attached to it as well, I think, right. September 25th. Right, yeah, and it'll get rubber stamped out, but it'll be interesting to see what happens on the floor.
The 25th and the end of the Congress, you know, not much. So it'd be real hard to get an actual vote on the floor for that bill, even when it does pass out of the Judiciary Committee. And that's the point, because they don't want some of these members in more purple districts to have to take that vote.
I got to say, I think it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks here in Washington, D.C. And again, all eyes right now on President Donald Trump. I wish we could, you know, give the audience some inside information. But honestly, the president, again, just keeping it so close to the vest that we're going to find out probably right along with everybody else.
Yep.
All right, Stephen, listen, I appreciate you joining me on the program, sir. Enjoy your week. It's probably going to be an eventful one, and look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Have a good one.
You too, man. So we will continue to follow what's going on in Washington, D.C., and we'll be reporting all of the latest details at BearingArms.com, as well as the news and analysis of all of those latest details. Right now, though, let's get to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and, of course, a story from our failed criminal justice system. We're not enforcing the current laws on the books, and yet you got folks like, you know, Beto out there. Well, what we need to do, because we need to pass a law that's going to be hard to enforce, will impact millions of Americans, and, you know, won't have any impact in terms of clogging up the court system. We're already, plea bargains are the norm, which leads to cases like this. A 19-year-old in La Crosse, Wisconsin, with a long criminal record in La Crosse, Wisconsin, arrested on gun and drug charges. So this gentleman's name, Ronald Crosby, he... he is well known to authorities there. He was arrested last week by the La Crosse Police Department on charges of possession of a firearm by a felon, possession of narcotic drugs, this is according to Madison.com, possession of THC, possession of drug paraphernalia, felony bail jumping, and violating his probation. Yeah, he had pleaded guilty last month to misdemeanor battery, criminal damage to property, and disorderly conduct, all as a repeat offender, by the way, and got 2 years probation by La Crosse County Circuit Court Judge Gloria Doyle on a joint recommendation by the DA there in La Crosse County, as well as the defense counsel. Crosby, according to Madison.com, punched and kicked a woman and her car in 2018. Apparently left her with two black eyes. And this happened while he was on probation for his role in a 2017 gang rape of two teenage girls on the south side of La Crosse. He also pleaded guilty in October of 2018, so less than a year ago, to fourth-degree sexual assault, delivering heroin and resisting an officer. He apparently gave a 16-year-old heroin, left her in the garage where she was later raped. 16-year-old told authorities that Crosby forced her to perform oral sex on October 31st, 2017. Given 2 years probation by the judge in that case, the felony conviction of delivering heroin means he can't legally own a firearm. The judge had actually revoked probation in that case in April of this year, but he's still back on the streets. He's also facing charges. These have not yet been resolved. Second-degree sexual assault of a child, felony bail jumping, and criminal trespassing. Those charges were filed in June. He's supposed to be in court this week for a hearing on that case, in which he's accused of forcing a 15-year-old girl to have sex with him after she repeatedly told him no and removed his hands seven times. Crosby denies having sex with the victim and wants a DNA test to prove his innocence. The judge released him on a $2,000 signature bond in that case. So this guy keeps going before the same judge. And again, with the acquiescence of the local district attorney, he keeps getting these little tiny pats on the wrist for increasingly serious charges. Now, back when he was released on bond in this latest case, the interim police chief there in La Crosse, Rob Abram, objected to the release, tweeting out, "I'm sorry for the victims of this community and that we can't do more to protect you." After Crosby was arrested last week, Abraham said on Twitter, quote, "Looks like probation wasn't working out. This community needs to demand accountability of our elected officials." Judge Doyle said Crosby Jr. was a dupe when she sentenced him to probation. Who is really the dupe? Well, good for him for speaking out. But, you know, again, it sounds like in at least one of these cases, it was not just the judge there, but it was the district attorney who was signing off on these cases as well. And again, before you go putting a whole bunch of new federal felony level offenses on the books for, you know, nonviolent behaviors, things that are actually legal to do right now, like possess a 20-round magazine or an AR-15, think about the problems that we have right now. You can talk about the disparate impact. You can talk about systemic bias. But let's talk about the problems that we have in actually enforcing the laws. Because Mr. Crosby, again, in a very short period of time, has done some very bad things and is accused of doing some really heinous acts. And yet the law has just treated Mr. Crosby like he's a number. You got to clear that case as quickly as possible, give him the plea deal, take out the felony offenses, let him plead down to misdemeanor, or give him probation for the one felony drug offense. And oh yeah, by the way, while this is the system in place, we want to put you in prison for 5 years if you possess a 20-round magazine after we say you can't have one. We want to turn you into a felon to continuing to possess your firearms without getting a federally mandated gun license, as Cory Booker would require. It is absurd to call for all of these additional gun control laws, given what is happening to violent criminals right now in our court system. All right, let's get to our armed citizen story of the day from North Carolina, Fayetteville, North Carolina, where WRAL reporting a second deadly home invasion in less than a day has left an intruder dead and one on the run there in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Home, by the way, to a lot of members of our military. Police said they responded to the 400 block of Land's End Road about 6:48 Thursday evening to a report of a shooting. They say two men forced open the front door to the home. One of them was armed. The homeowner was able to get his gun and exchange gunfire with the two men. Police found a man who they believe to be one of the intruders with gunshot wounds. Jensen Rojas Marrero died at the scene. A second man fled the home and is still being sought. A woman inside the home was shot in the leg, taken to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, thankfully. Detectives still on the scene Thursday night investigating, but as of right now, it looks like a case of self-defense. We'll try to keep you updated on any additional information as it becomes available. And on to our good deed of the day. From Detroit, Michigan, where a homeless gentleman needed a little bit of help. He just gotten a razor, had gotten some shaving cream, and was trying to give himself a shave, but he couldn't manage it. And instead, this police officer you see here came to this man's aid. It's pretty, it's one of those little stories, right? It's not like this guy, you know, saved somebody from a burning house or dove off a bridge into the icy cold waters to save somebody who was drowning. But sometimes it's the little things that can really mean the world to somebody. Jeremy Thomas is that police officer there in Detroit. He said he had noticed the guy trying to use a water bottle to wet his face and, you know, shave. And he said, I walked up and I said, excuse me, sir. And the guy's first response was, okay, I'll leave. And Officer Thompson or Thomas said, no, do you need some help? And he said, he turned around blindly and said, yes, thank you and God bless. Bystander happened to see what was going on, took a picture. This is outside of Comerica Park, where the Detroit Tigers play. Officer Thomas said he had no idea that anybody was watching what was going on. Stanley Nelson was that gentleman that Officer Thomas approached. He said, God's going to bless him. He said he's going to bless him for doing that because he didn't have to do that. He's got a heart and he understands. Officer Thomas joined the Detroit police 3 years ago. And he said he did it because he wants to help people. That's why he's an officer. He said, just know that this could be you at any day. Meaning I could be that gentleman on the street needing some help. He said, I mean, like I said, nobody's better than the other person, maybe in a better position in life, but use that opportunity to take care of somebody else when you can. And that is exactly what Officer Jeremy Thomas did there in Detroit, Michigan. So in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. We thank you, sir, for your very good deed. And that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company. Thank you again for being a part of the program today. If you like the show in a podcast form, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Spotify. You can subscribe to Town Hall Media as well. You can shoot me an email, cam.edwards@bearingarms.com. You can find me on Twitter, @CamEdwards. And we will see you back here tomorrow with another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company.